First of all, before we really get into the episode, this is our third Jeff Bridges-a-thon.
A bridge too far.
No, you stole it from me!
Yes.
You stole it!
Yes!
I can't believe you did that.
I was thinking of it earlier.
I was thinking about that for like 3 weeks before we, even before we watched Tron. Fuck.
You look so organized. Like you were really setting that up.
That was my only and best joke in this episode. Hello, and
hello.
Welcome to I Hate Your Movie, where, what do we do?
Watch the film.
We watch the film.
But what is this podcast first?
Why
is this?
What is this? I don't know, even after 60 episodes. Okay.
What are we doing here?
I don't know. This is I Hate Your Movie, where we inflict movies on each other for your entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
This week, it was my go, and we watched Tron Legacy.
I get the feeling you were meant to say that with like really enthusiasm, but you had all the enthusiasm of a librarian after a long day.
Tron Legacy. That's the only way you can introduce this movie. It is the least me movie ever made.
Okay.
Because it's by the numbers, studio monster, AAA movie.
I don't think so. I don't think it's any of those things.
This movie stars Diet Sam Worthington.
Garrett Hedlund.
He's been in stuff.
Kind of. I think what I said when we were watching it, he looks like a bad CGI version of Austin Butler.
Yeah, for me, it's just the poor man's Sam Worthington. And Sam Worthington is already a poor man's...
Hollywood actor.
Hollywood actor, man. Yeah. It's directed by Joseph Kosinski, who I always thought is a really interesting director with the shittiest scripts. But we'll get into that.
No, he did Top Gun Maverick.
That's what I was going to say, which I haven't seen, and I'm never going to see.
Oh.
Because I could not care less. Well, I kind of care now that I knew it's him. That kind of piqued my interest, to be fair.
He is currently directing the most expensive film ever made.
Really?
Yeah, it's a Formula One film starring Brad Pitt. And it's so expensive because they're using actual Formula One cars.
Basically doing the Top Gun Maverick with other stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Formula One, which I know you love.
Yeah. It's my favorite sports ever. If you're counting the first and the last laps, it is the most interesting sport ever.
Didn't you live near it?
Yeah. It's literally in my backyard. My back garden had some locker rooms with like old locker rooms that they haven't used anymore, obviously. It'd be weird if they come into my garden to change.
Max Verstappen in your back garden.
Yeah.
Whipping off his clothes.
What were you talking about? Formula One, John Krasinski.
Tron
Krasinski.
Tron Krasinski.
I think he has a very strong visual idea all the time. And it's not only in the most obvious, like, Tron pretty visuals in the Tron world, but even outside. It's very interesting how he directs. Not my kind of movie, usually, but has got, like, some good things going for it. Brick, what is your one-sentence review?
We have the potential to fall out about this.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh no, is it something about Daft Punk?
My one sentence view is as follows. How good this film looks to the eyes is how offensive it is to the ears.
Oh no.
So, a little bit of backstory. Dan loves the soundtrack to this film.
I just listened to it on the gym.
Yeah, yeah. This morning. I've seen you listen to it like when you're doing anything.
Yeah.
At any point I've been with you, there is a potential you could be listening to the Tron soundtrack.
Yeah. A Tron Legacy soundtrack, which is amazing.
I mean, it's not my kind of music. I am a bit of a snob when it comes to music, as we've covered before. And this, to me, just sounds like 100 guys with synthesizers falling down the stairs. It's just... Oh my God. At one point, I genuinely started getting like a blistering headache.
Is that why you told me to turn it down?
Yes. Yes, it was. I am not joking. I'm not exaggerating. At that point, it was painful. And it's constant.
Yeah.
It's so constant. And I think that is the only reason you like this film.
Yes. And some of the visuals. But 90% Daft Punk.
So, little expansion on my one sentence review. I started off by saying how good this film is to your eyes. It's fantastic. It's beautiful. every frame of it could be like a poster on someone's wall.
Yeah, even the outside world, I think. Like when he goes up to the high building, it just looks so beautiful, like the landscape.
Mm. I didn't really get the sense of that. I got a very kind of like Batman sense in that scene.
Yeah, well, that's mostly the story and the kind of visual cues he gets from Dark Knight, very obvious ones.
And then on the other side of that, it being like offensive to your ears, is the dialogue, man. Like, yeah. 3/4 of the way through this film, I think you turned to me and said something like, you didn't realize how cheesy and awful the dialogue was in this film. It's so cliche. You could play cliche bingo on this and you would have a bingo every single time.
There's some funny dialogue that I've written down. But I think the main part of it is Sam Dummington asking the dumbest questions and saying the dumbest things so that the audience can understand what's happening, even the dumbest ones. That was painful.
And do you know what the weirdest bit about this is? This was nominated for an Oscar.
For what?
Best sound editing.
That's always a bullshit one.
Yeah, but it's nominated for an Oscar for the thing that it is, in my opinion, the worst of.
Okay, let's talk about that. I think it is the best soundtrack to any movie ever made. Maybe on par with Hans Zimmer's Lion King score. Not the songs, but the score.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is very underappreciated. I think it's a brilliant idea. Daft Punk is like this pioneers of, I guess, electronica.
Okay.
Beboops.
EDM.
It fits it so well as well.
I agree. I think if you were going to pick a band to do Tron, then Daft Punk is the one. But I think it needs like less. Just less. Just ebbs and flows and quiet moments and reflective moments.
There were quiet moments.
Didn't feel like
dude,
it.
There's ones where they bring out the violin.
Yeah.
And then it gets very slow and very calm.
But like every action sequence is just constant and it's loud and it's overpowering.
Where's the action sequences? And I put up the volume very high because I really like it.
But it's overpowering, you know, like all you can hear is the music.
Yeah.
And you should hear like the punches and the breaking tables and the screaming and the running and all that kind of stuff. And all you can hear is like endlessly.
And you're saying that's a negative?
By the way, if you're enjoying this episode, please hit the like button. Don't forget to subscribe. And we also have a Patreon,
where for £1 or $1 a month, you can listen to bonus episodes that we do and also recommend us movies and join a great community of people. Patreon.com/IHateYourMovie. It's also in the description box. Check it out. Thank you very much. Anyone wants to listen to it, you should. Don't listen to Rick. There's also like a remix album, which is really good. It includes a lot of famous remixes from M83, lots of other people that I can't name right now. That's also good. It's called Reconfigured Tron Legacy. Daft Punk broken up, so in the new Tron, Jared Leto's Nightmare, it's not going to be Daft Punk, so I don't give a shit.
Here's my question to you.
Yeah. Right?
How do you know the two people of Daft Punk are the original members?
I don't, but I don't care. It sounds great.
I don't think Daft Punk actually exists. I think it's like one guy who makes their music behind the scenes. Yeah.
And more interesting idea about Daft Punk is they've been around since 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Are they two very old guys who wear silly masks?
I don't think they are the guys.
Yeah.
I think it's some old dude makes EDM in his basement or like, you know, in his recording studio at home. And then he just has these people because it's like a publicity thing. And he hasn't got to do anything.
It's like a mascot.
Yeah.
What's the point of making him into two people?
Because it's more entertaining.
I guess so.
It's the same with gorillas. I mean, you know gorillas, right? You know it's just one guy.
Yeah. Tron discussion begins now. Well, if you didn't like the music, there's not much else to this movie.
No. No, there isn't.
Let's talk about this.
Okay.
The movie is called Tron.
Legacy.
Yeah. A Tron is barely in this movie.
Yeah. In the first draft of the script, he wasn't in the film.
I gathered. It does sound like they just like halfway through making this movie was like, oh shit, this movie is called Tron Legacy and there's no Tron in this movie.
It was a campaign by the actor that played Tron in the original film.
Mm.
And they drummed up support and eventually, they shoehorned him in.
And it's weird because he's the a bad guy's main sidekick. It's like calling your Batman 89 movie Bob. Bob, you're my number one guy. And it's the same movie. Very obviously ADR'd. It's like, oh, who's that? Look, it's
Tron. Tron
is here.
I didn't even know Tron was a person.
Yeah.
I thought Tron was the name of the city.
Well, it's not a person. It's a program.
Dead stare. The person in the film.
What did they call users and programs?
Programs, yeah.
Now they would be called apps.
They would.
Can you imagine a Jared Leto ones? We're the apps.
God. It's going to be like that, isn't it?
Yeah. They're going to merge with the emoji movie.
If there's not a giant screen at some point showing Instagram accounts in that film, I'd be very surprised.
Oh, here's something that's definitely going to be in it, right?
God.
There's going to be like a kid who's like, I'm going to download this game. It's called Tron, and it's going to be the light cycle game. And he's like, this game is for babies. Ugh. That's definitely going to be in that movie.
I want to see the little avatar of Mark Zuckerberg in the film somewhere.
What about is the whole film, it goes on, and then someone in the corner just reacts to it like a YouTube video.
No, it could be that. It could be like, there'll be like a live stream thing. They'll have this like, air quotes, deep conversation about AI and is it sentient and these people are killing each other in the games and does it matter?
Yeah, it's going to be good guys and bad guys. They're shooting it.
Really?
Yeah. Make sure you get your ideas out right now so that they can incorporate all these terrible ideas into your Tron movie. Let's talk about the beginning of Tron Legacy, the outside segment, the Dark Knight segment.
Yeah. First of all, I want to say that the Disney logo looks really cool in Tron colors.
Everything looks cool in Tron colors.
Yeah.
It's like vector lines almost.
Hmm.
This movie starts with CGI Jeff Bridges.
Yep.
To be fair, to give this movie some credit, this is one of the first of digital de-aging. But they could have used it smarter. Here's how you should use it. Have digital CGI Jeff Bridges just in Tron world. And make it look worse. Put like some scan lines on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's perfect. But the problem is he's in the real world. He's goopy, Play-Doh looking Jeff Bridges.
It's just not good.
No.
It's not good at all. And, you know, you had computer versions of people all the way back in 2003.
Yeah.
Like Matrix Reloaded came out in 2003 and everyone mocked, you know, that for Agent Smith's likeness. This is like 7 years later.
This is funny as compared to the music because I listen to the music way more than watch this movie, obviously. And some of the dialogue is incorporated in the music.
Really?
It's from this intro when he goes, the grid is what I found. But the music weirdly doesn't include the kid. He's like, and there were digital peoples. And there were digital peoples in the computer. That would ruin the song a little bit. Jeff Bridges sounds cool when it goes, the grid.
So you were talking about the Dark Knight entrance.
Yeah, most of my notes is from that. Because what a confusing scene. Right, they're having a board meeting at midnight.
Yep.
Already weird.
Yeah. I mean, I think the point was they were going to launch something at like midnight or they were going to launch it in the evening.
Mm.
So they were gathering around for that.
It feels like an excuse to have it seen at night.
Yeah.
And then they're having this product launch, but it's a board meeting, but they're treating it like they're having like this Steve Jobs, the iPhone. Because things go wrong and it's like guys like no go fix it. Like they're your board members. Why would you shoot a bunch of suits at midnight? it's just weird. Random Cillian Murphy shows up.
Yep, Cillian Murphy just not even credited. It's not even in the credits apparently, no.
I think like they're very subtle sequel tease. We're gonna have Cillian Murphy in the next one.
Maybe they still will.
Yeah, that'd be
cool.
If
he's contracted to do it, then you can't say no. He's got a star in a shit show starring No One Cares. Nobody wants to see Jared Leto in anything. Same with Kristen Stewart. Put a film with them together, I guarantee you make negative £300.
I think Jared Leto is good as a creepy weirdo, which he is. He's good in Blade Runner 2049. Perfectly portrays a creepy weirdo. The problem is, I think in Tron he's going to be the main guy here, so that's a problem. He should never be the protagonist. And then, the Dark Knight happens.
Yep. He jumps off like a 10-story building.
Yeah.
He base jumps, which would kill you.
Yeah.
Especially if you jumped off it backwards and then turned around at the last second.
Yeah.
The part of the scene that is the least realistic is the security guard.
or the bumbling security guard that balances on the, beam to get a guy?
Not in a million years.
No.
No, because where's he going?
Yeah.
Like, you have no, like, benefit of walking out into the middle of a scaffolding beam.
Yeah. Even if you catch that guy, it's going to be even worse for the balance.
Yeah.
So that you're just going to fall off. That's the one thing where some, like, funny, hokey things in this movie, and it sometimes clashes with the style, especially in these outside Tron scenes. Take it a bit too seriously, and it's not. It's silly.
He's on a motorbike.
Yeah.
You know, gets chased.
Mm-hmm. Really cool scene. It looks amazing. Really good.
Well, first of all, like, he's driving down the motorway.
Yeah.
A very well-lit motorway. He turns off his lights. No one can see him.
Yeah.
It's on a fucking motorway.
It's night.
And then he drives off the motorway. Mm-hmm. Like, he jumps off. It's like an on-ramp, and he jumps off it late, so he comes off the side of the motorway and down onto the on-ramp.
Mm-hmm.
Just, why have you turned your light off for that? If you, that was going to work if you had your lights on or not. Like, turn your light off on a busy motorway. People can still see you, man. Come on. At one point, he, like, dives over two police cars, parkour style. He's running down, and then a helicopter shines a light at him, and he just stops. Not my weakness.
Well,
spotlights.
Where is he going to go? He's on foot.
He was already running.
But where is he going to go?
Anywhere.
It's a helicopter's going to find him. Also, he hasn't really done anything bad. It's his own company.
Yeah, that's the other thing that's stupid as well.
I think they say he's a majority shareholder.
Yeah.
So he can do whatever the fuck he wants, really.
Yeah. That's another thing I don't understand. Yeah. Like, his company is like, oh no, we're going to make money. And he's like, no, I don't want to make money. I want to make people happy.
Yeah.
I'm going to break in and give it away for free. It's sly. You know, espionage style. Mm-hmm. When he could just walk into the room and be like, yo, I'm the shareholder, and give that away for free.
Yeah. No, you have to show that he's a rebel and he's a cool guy.
And you have to show his ability of motorcycle riding.
Yeah. Overall, that you explained the whole action scenes, this is what I heard. Beep, 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 beep,
yeah.
But that's, I just imagine it. I was like, oh, that's so cool. I don't care how many bullshit things happen. I don't care. It's all forgivable. It's all great.
Good CEO guy. Good board member.
Yeah.
Who got told off in the board meeting.
He's in the original. He's one of the main characters.
In the original film, he's Tron and he's Adam Bradley.
Oh, Adam Bradley, yeah. Oh, I forgot he was actually Tron.
That so I don't know whether or not they probably didn't get him to spin around.
To do Darth Maul. He didn't do the Matrix kicks and the splits.
Yeah, so anyway.
Yes.
He turns up.
Yes.
Because he's the good guy in the boardroom. All the other want to make money, and how dare they look after the interests of their, you know, ongoing company that has thousands of employees. They can all fuck off and lose their jobs. It doesn't matter because we're giving away a thing for free that no one cares about. Anyway, do you know what really bugged me about the scene where he's talking to Jeff Bridges Jr.?
Sam Dummington.
Is that he never actually says the message that he got. He goes in and he's like, I got a page from your dad's office.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's like, oh my God, what's that about? And he's like, you should find out what this page I got was. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I'm going to do that. What did it say?
What if it said, because we know what happens in the movie, what if it says, I am bad guy, who this? And they just never read it. It would have been very helpful. I am fake Jeff Bridges. Help me get out with my Nazi digital army.
Do you think it was something like, hello, my name is Natalia. I need an American husband.
I am a Nigerian prince. Oh no, I need to transfer money quickly to you. Please insert this USB stick into the Tron machine where I stored all my fortune.
I really should stop complaining about this film. I feel like I'm piling on a bit.
You can.
It's kind of what we do, I know, but
yeah, it's like, don't get off brand now.
Right. I think this is my last nitpicky complaint.
Okay.
Everything from here looks amazing when he reaches the Tron world. But I want to talk about the secret door in the arcade.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a secret door in the arcade.
Behind the Tron arcade machine.
Behind the most popular game of the decade.
Yeah.
You put that shit behind, I don't know, Frogger. Yeah. And no one's going to find it. Yeah. You don't put your secret door behind the most popular thing.
Put it behind Qbert.
Trying to figure really unpopular games. No, I can't remember what it's called. There was a game.
Cyberpunk 2077.
And there was a game. I've forgotten what it's called. It was either for the Mega Drive or the Genesis. It was called in America, or it was called for the Master System, which I don't know what was called in America. But there was a game you had to go around pissing on everything. It was like a 2D side-scroller.
Yeah.
Funny little cartoon characters that look like Japanese businessmen. And you just walk down the street and you had to piss on things. They used to turn away from the camera and you just saw their back with their hands, and they used to bob up and down, and then you carry on.
Yeah, so put it behind that. Japanese man pissing. Extreme.
Okay, last thing.
I never believe you when you said it's the last nitpicky thing, because you say that in a few episodes and then continue to say nitpicky things.
If you're in someone's secret laboratory who went missing, do you sit in front of the giant laser?
And then press buttons and not understanding what it says, but says yes to everything.
Oh, fucking terms and conditions, man. Yeah. I agree. Yes, I'm fine with cookies.
Do you accept to turn on giant laser?
You get zapped into Tron world. It's called the grid.
Looks amazing. What looks amazing?
Yeah, it does.
It makes sense, a lot of the things. Even if they don't say what it does, but those little grabby things and how they work, it really makes sense to me.
It has a really cool suit-up scene as well.
Mm.
I really like that. Because so much CGI these days is focused around making everything look realistic.
And this suit off too.
No.
Which is a great, freedom.
Yeah, and they completely abandoned it, obviously. And it just looked cool.
Mm.
It just looked really fucking cool when they were putting, the suit on him and all the expansion, all the armor that comes out of nowhere. And, yeah, it was wicked.
A little bit lessened by the fact that he keeps asking dumb questions. What's this?
Where am I? Doesn't seem bothered either. He's just like...
No.
He's like, oh, what's going on? Yo.
One of the dumbest things he says later in the movie when they're trying to get out. I go towards the giant blue laser. Not elsewhere. You know, all the things that we said throughout the movie, that you have to go to the giant blue laser, go there.
Yeah, go to the light.
Yeah.
Head towards the light.
Make sure
you
go there. Yeah. He was always like, what's this? What am I supposed to do? Just shut up and you'll see. This is my favorite segment of the whole movie.
Which one?
After the suit up. The games.
Mm-hmm.
The disc throwing.
Yeah.
The light cycles.
The light cycles are cool.
Yeah, I even like the disc throwing, honestly. On paper, it's not cool, but they make it look cool.
I do like the disc throwing. It does look cool. What I don't like is it suffers from the problem with Captain America's shield.
It bounces back at you.
Yeah.
But it makes more sense here.
It makes more sense here. But if you're playing a game, it's not how it works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a really poorly designed game, as if wherever you throw it, it just bounces back at you.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's meant to be like an 80s game, so that would be kind of the case. It's an 80s 2D kind of fighting game made 3D.
Yeah. The only thing I found weird about it is that it was kind of inconsistent in what it can do, the disc.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes it can destroy a tile that they're standing on. Sometimes it just bounces back on, and I'm not sure what made the difference. This whole extended action scene is amazing, I think. Only problem is, nothing else lives up to it ever again. Especially the end. And the light cycle as well. Just think about how hard is it to make that watchable. Because there's not much visual information. There's darkness, there's black, and then there's orange and blue lines. And that's pretty much your visual information. And now, make that make sense in a 3D visual environment, where people are chasing each other, and there's different characters. And it all made sense. I think it's a really good achievement.
Yeah,
visually,
that.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching it this time. They were really good with their following the eye movement. When the character is on the left-hand side of the screen, and then they cut, the character's in the middle of the screen. And then they cut, and then they are right on the screen. And that helps us really easily follow the action.
I found it really easy to follow because the colours were different.
That helps. That helps to see who's the bad guy and the good guy. Cora shows up.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Olivia Wilde.
Olivia Wilde.
The absolutely fantastic director.
Hmm. I don't know. I haven't seen Lady Bird.
Or Booksmart.
Both
brilliant films.
I know her from her amazing acting in House MD.
Yeah.
So Cora gets Sam Domington out of the races.
In a cool, like, off-roader car.
Yeah. That also looked like the tank from The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Kind of. We haven't talked about Clue, the character of Clue yet.
It's a very confusing name, by the way. Because Clue is what Americans call Cluedo.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And I'm like, oh, we're having a family game of Clue.
I just don't get it. So he's a copy of Jeff Bridges from the 70s. And he was made to be make this perfect society in the Tron world.
Mm.
Why are you naming him Clue? Why not Perfecto? Dr. Perfecto and his perfect world.
I think it's like one of those things where, like, you start a game off for the first time and it's like, enter a name.
Yeah.
And you're just like, dog poopy.
Or A-A-A-A-A.
Yeah. Three letters, C-L-U. Yeah. Fine, Clue, done.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, especially as high scores, you have to use three.
Mm-hmm.
Tron doesn't really work. Tro.
Ron.
You beat me to it by like a millisecond.
Yeah, I got something back. I stole back my joke. Anyway, we meet real Jeff Bridges.
Yep.
My favorite thing about him, and this is kind of crazy how this came together, because we're having a Jeff Bridges on, but not only we've watched three completely different films from Jeff Bridges, but all of them he plays a hippie. And a different kind of hippie in all three of them. It's so weird, right?
Yeah.
I never considered this. Is he typecast as a hippie?
No.
I don't think so.
I don't think the bad guy in Iron Man 1 is a hippie in any way, shape or form.
It's just really weird coincidence. And I love his dialogue. I'll have examples.
Okay.
And dare to say, there's not great lines. They made me chuckle so hard. But he plays it very differently again.
Yeah.
In this one, he's a tech hippie. I think their idea was that he, because he hasn't seen the real world since the 70s, I think he gets stuck into that manned, a kind of 70s lingo. When he explains to Sam Domington that new beings were born in the Tron world. He ends it with, biodigital jazz, man. Biodigital jazz, man. It's so weird. And then there's one more that they have the big face-off with Clue. And he just says, you're messing with my Zan thing, man. Let's talk about the people, the new people.
Yeah, it didn't make sense to me. Like, if these are the super people,
yeah,
super intelligent people, then what's everyone else?
They're called ISOs. They're new programs that you can bring into the world and they'll be perfect human beings. I don't know. This whole concept is very silly and outdated. The whole Tron thing and digitizing people and programs having, like, personalities and...
I disagree. I don't think it's outdated. I think it's probably more relevant than ever.
It's totally not relevant. I think in the 70s we could be like, ooh, what's a program? What's that? But now we know.
I think it's about questioning where the boundaries of that are. And where they lie and sentience and what makes something alive. That's the point of it. I mean, it didn't make any sense to me because you never concretely defined the difference between a person program who... There's lots of people, they go to bars and they go to the city and they interact with people and that's a program. But then the ISO was like a super program that had sentience and it never really defined what was the difference between them. That's what your question is. Like,
yeah.
Chat GPT, whoever it is,
mm-hmm.
You know, you can ask that actual questions. For the most part, I guess that passes the Turing test at this point.
Well, yeah. But it's a silly Tron machine with like light cycle games. You know, it's not super believable that like sentient programs arose from that.
No, but that's the leap of like film, isn't it?
That's too big of a leap for me, I think. Like, genuinely. I think the whole Tron is like really outdated, silly.
No.
It's, you go into your computer and right now talk to programs and shit like that.
Of course you do. I mean, it's an evolved version of Skyrim. You know, you go in and you talk to the programs in the game and you have a connection with them. If you play like a computer game, you develop attachments to these people. Mm-hmm. You know, you get upset when like your side character dies suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make sense. But like, if you bring actual sentience to those characters, you know, what's the line there? And the further we get down the technological timeline, it's going to become way more important.
Yes, but this is a silly Tron machine. And each program has three lines of code. You know, they shouldn't be like this, like society, and they shouldn't be like drinking on the side and making alliances and things like that. That's too much for me. But I'll take it. The problem is the movie takes itself a bit too seriously, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my note for the sequel. I think she should have someone that like understands kind of self-awareness and makes it kind of silly. It doesn't help that the movie is called Tron, and that's like an additive word when you want to make fun of a gadget, like Magnetron.
Okay.
And Computron. You know? I have a question.
Go on.
Which has better fireworks effects? And this might be hard.
Ooh, you're going to say Dune or this?
Dune Part 2 or this?
Ooh.
Do you get inky black fireworks or digital vector blue light fireworks? Which one's better?
I'm going to say Dune 2.
Mm.
Because it was just so unexpected.
Yeah, I guess that's more creative because it's so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I still like the vectory.
It's pretty cool.
Kind of digital fireworks.
Remind me of like, do you ever complete Tetris?
No.
And their little fireworks at the end of that.
No.
Actually, if you completed Tetris, you saw a little rocket tick off.
I remember that. I don't remember fireworks.
I thought there was fireworks when the little people were dancing.
That's just in your head. Oh my God, I have a lot of questions when they made Jeff Bridges, by the way. And this also is like the suspend your disbelief. They're really stretching it. Where did they get asparagus from when they're eating asparagus? You know?
Yep.
I mean, I guess some of the objects are implied that he digitized them and brought it back with himself. Because there's books.
Mm-hmm.
And there's maybe some lines about it. I don't know. But I guess it's implied. But like asparagus, the things they eat, you know?
Yeah. Where does all this shit come from?
Yeah. How does that work? Are you hungry in the digital world?
Why are you hungry in the digital world?
Yeah, why are you hungry in digital world? Why? How do you cook? How do you... anything? What does he age?
Yeah, why does he... Yeah, it's a good question.
There's so many questions, like, we could be here forever.
Yeah, a lot of it, you just have to kind of roll with it.
Yeah, but the asparagus, I really was like, whoa, where did that come from? Digital asparagus.
My favourite part about the little family dinner scene...
It was very awkward.
It was very awkward. My favourite part about it is when, like, at the end where Jeff Bridges is basically says to him, like, oh, no, we're not doing this. Come on, like, you're stuck here. Live with it. And then he walks out the room and all the lights turn off. And he just leaves the guy stood in the dark. This is such a dick move.
It's very dramatic. So, Clue's raising an army.
Yep.
He's Digi-Hitler.
He is Digi-Hitler.
And he wants to get out in the real world and make the real world perfect, whatever that means.
By killing everyone, basically?
Yeah, probably. There's a thing in it when they say that 1 second outside is 8 hours inside.
At the end, by the portal, he's like, Dad, I'm not going to leave you. No, I can't. And he just fucking run through the portal, and then you've got plenty of time. You can come out the portal, you can be like, oh, cool. Now, because it's 1 second, 8 hours... I've got all the time in the world.
Oh, you put Clue and his Nazi army in a zip file.
Yeah, done.
Put it on a USB stick, throw it in the ocean.
Yeah.
There's files. There was a line that confused the fuck out of me, where Cora says, Olivia Wilde says that, oh, they can't follow us out here because they'll be disintegrated.
Yeah.
And then they do it anyway.
Yeah, and then like half an hour later.
Was there an explanation for that?
No, none at all.
Good to know.
Would you like to hear my next note for the film?
Is it the club scene and how it gave you a headache?
Kind of.
Yeah.
It's to do with that.
Mm.
Because not just the music of this headache, the acting of this scene gave me a headache as well. My note for this is, what the fuck is Michael Sheen doing in this film? He's really giving it all, but he is horrendously miscast.
Is he?
Yeah.
I didn't think he was.
I just see Michael Sheen as this, like, happy, nice guy.
He stood out, but he always does that thing. He chooses scenery. He always, like, acts, like, 20% more than he should. Have you ever seen him in Twilight? He's the big bad
Shockingly,
guy.
Shockingly, no.
He's a big bad in Twilight. He's like the best thing in those movies.
Really?
He's like, ooh, I'm here to kill you. He does that. And he kind of does that here as well. He's the Lando Calrissian of this movie. The obvious fake out, sell you out kind of guy. That's my second favorite scene, that club scene. Mostly because of the music.
Yep.
That you made me turn down.
I had more than enough of it by that point. It is about 50 minutes in, something like that. It's a long film, right?
It's 2 hours, yeah. Yeah, it's long for 2010. Now that they're knocking out 2 hour films left and right.
I think I would have had more patience for this film if we hadn't just watched an incredibly long film that wasn't very good. We did the world's first and only double bill.
We did the weirdest double bill of humanity.
We watched Kinds of Kindness, the Yorgos
Lanthimos
film.
Yeah.
Which I didn't particularly like, and Dan did.
I loved it.
I just thought it was endlessly long, and I thought every single part of that film, because it's an anthology film of three stories, I feel like every single one of them made their point in the first 10 minutes, but then went on for another 40 after that. Literally, like, head in my hands, dragging my eyeballs out of my face in the cinema, and then I came out and I did not have the energy to watch another, like, long, uninteresting film. And Dan was like, no, it's a good film. I never said it was a bad film. It's a great film. Let's go watch it now. It's brilliant. I don't think you ever said brilliant, but...
No. Well, for me, it only enhanced both movies. I think it's a great double bill. I think everyone should watch Kinds of Kindness and Tron Legacy together, back to back. There's one, again, with, like, a logic program thing. Like, Michael Sheen is like, I had an intuition. How does a program have intuition? That's it.
Yeah.
I got more questions.
The biggest question of that isn't, why are these people in a bar drinking?
Yeah. Well, there's that.
And where does that come from?
It's the dirty underbelly of the simple 3-pixel game of Tron, Tron the game.
And it was at this point, actually, in the film, I think they started the film with, like, a solid set of rules of what happens in Tron, and then the further you go through the film, the less it makes sense.
Yeah, it genuinely falls apart.
Like, they had these discs that do things and the bikes that kill people, and then in this point, like, I think at one point Michael Sheen takes his walking stick and he starts shooting people like with his walking stick.
I feel like they added that in post. I think he was just flailing it around. Or maybe he was imitating a gun, but I don't think he was meant to be actually shooting. That's a cool sequence.
No, it is.
It really is. One of my favorite bad scenes in this. It might be the most nonsense things in this movie, which says a lot. They are going on this train thing.
Yep.
And then, weirdly, the train stops at the Nazi encampment of the Niji Nazis. The most nonsense thing in this is that they're hiding and they're, like, looking, oh, what they're doing. And then Cora, she just runs out. It's a distraction that didn't need to be had.
Yeah, like, let everyone know you're here.
Yeah, dumbest thing ever. Sam Dummington asks Jeff Bridges, like, well, what's she doing? She removes herself from the equation. Why? That doesn't mean anything. She just fucked up everything. They need a scene where she caused a distraction, even though they didn't need a distraction.
No, if the guards were onto them.
Yeah.
And like, hey, you there.
Yeah.
And she just pushes him behind a wall and she stands there, runs away. That's a distraction.
Yeah, but no, they're hiding. But,
they're hiding behind barrels.
They don't know they're there and she just runs out.
Hey, I'm here.
There you are. What the fuck?
This is where cliche bingo starts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, you get lines like, she risked herself for me, but some things are worth the risk.
What? Getting out of Tron? That's the other thing. She's the last surviving being of a different kind of being. I should use a different word from being. She's a different kind of...
Sentience.
And she's the only one. So, it's not worth...
What you're saying with the film there is, like, no matter how sentient digital life will be, it's still not as valuable as human life.
It's like you're the last chimpanzee. You shouldn't sacrifice yourself for 8 billion humans. She's just an idiot. Oh my god, and it becomes so Star Wars here. The Rinsler / Tron main henchman, he brings out the double disc Darth Maul style, and the dogfight. Oh my god, that's so Star Wars. I could put scene by scene. Pretty much like stolen, but words changed. Oh, I got them. Oh, kid, don't get cocky. And then, like, variations on that, you know, on the Star Wars lines. I'm like, oh my god, so plagiarific.
Jeff Bridges says to Sam Pukington, I was always chasing what was right in front of me, but I'd have given it all up for another day with you.
Because you had such a fun time so far. The awkward dinner scene. They're trying to do like a father-son thing, but doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
At the beginning, Jeff Bridges is like, oh, I'm not going along with your adventures. I'm not going to risk this. And then he just changes his mind for nothing, no reason. Why does he suddenly love his son? Because I think the movie needed to have a scene where Jeff Bridges is somehow impressed with his son about what he's done. Like, oh, he came up with a good plan, or he sees himself in it, even something simple as that. But there's nothing. And he just changes his mind completely and becomes an emotional guy.
Yeah.
The movie shits itself. Jeff Bridges suddenly have force powers.
Yep.
The bridge is collapsing between the blue laser.
Yeah.
Jeff Bridges, his eyes go in the back of his head. He touches down and then there's like a shockwave.
Mm-hmm.
Where did that come from?
Do you know what? And I was thinking about that as well, because he does it in the club too.
Yeah, but he has a disc at that point.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. He still like touches the floor and all the lights go out. He's like, doom.
Yeah.
Neo is here.
But I think it does matter because I thought that the disc was the thing.
No.
Because that's the master key, you know? That makes sense that you can do anything with that.
No, he is the master key. The disc is just a copy of him.
Then it shouldn't matter, this disc that they get stolen.
It's like having... The disc is like his password.
Yeah.
So he doesn't need his password because he is the guy who can use things.
It's still a bit unexpected, suddenly he...
Yeah, it's real stupid.
Yeah.
And like, why not just do that to begin with?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make sense, because the portal's behind them. They're on the side of the portal.
Yeah.
All they need to do is run through the portal, and they're fannying around, watching Clue, like, jump over this giant ravine, climb up a thing, stare evilly at them. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Just leave. Literally behind you, mate. Like, come on. If you leave... Get on the computer, tappy, 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 Clue's gone.
Yeah.
But no, you stand around, fannying about, and waiting for your dad to sacrifice himself.
Do you think Clippy comes up and he says, I see you're about to delete your arch nemesis. Can I help?
Never helped. Never once helped.
No. I always changed him into a wizard. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
And it never did anything.
No.
Like, you asked that thing of a help. It's like, all right, how do I change the font? And it's like...
What?
Yeah. No results found. Thanks.
Yeah. How to delete cyber people.
No results found.
Just like this movie, the enthusiasm has dipped. Just exactly how the movie is. Like, whatever.
Imagine that with an EDM soundtrack.
Makes it better. Let's talk about my ideal Tron sequel.
Oh, God.
Just quickly. It's not going to happen anymore, obviously. But... Here's what I'm thinking. I made it realistic because Daft Punk has broken up. That two old guys or one old guy has broken up.
He's retired. He's living in an old folks home in Florida.
Yeah. Do you think he wears the mask?
I don't think he ever did.
Yeah. But it would be funny in an old folks home.
Two of them.
George, take that thing off.
No, no, dear. Nope, 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 nope. Pudding, 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 pudding. The nurse is still my medication. I'm waiting for a call from my grandson.
Son.
I'm really into crochet.
So my ideal Tron sequel.
I think we just described it, to be honest. I think we're done.
Old Tron. Everyone gets old. Director, John Watts.
Okay.
Spider-Man, new Spider-Mans. I just think that he really gets like self-awareness and kind of poking fun of it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this franchise, which apparently it is now, needs that. You know, it kind of needs to be hokey and fun and not taken too seriously.
Well, I hope you're not going to put all your hopes and dreams on that, because I can't imagine that's what it's going to
be. And soundtrack... Since there's no more Daft Punk, I think Kavinsky would be good. Do you know Kavinsky?
Nope.
You seen Drive?
Yeah, a long time ago.
He did Drive. He's really, really good. He could definitely do that job. Hashtag Kavinsky for Tron. Hashtag John Watts for Tron. It's not too late. They only probably shot one scene with Jared Leto, and they're sitting on it. Like, should we release this? Crap. What are your ratings?
4.
Wow. I genuinely thought you were going to like this.
I have no idea why. It's a poorly done action film.
Because...
with cheesy dialogue. Not very well acted. Apart from maybe Jeff Bridges as himself, not as young Jeff Bridges. Because that's a horror show.
Because I think you have a soft spot for okay movies.
I wouldn't say so.
Well, you know, when we watch like Bad Boys 3, it's not the most amazing thing in the world. But I feel like you always defend those.
Yeah. Because this wasn't even a turn your brain off film. It was posing to be kind of like questioning about sentience and AI. And yeah.
That's kind of a problem with it.
Yeah.
It should be more turn your brain off.
Yeah.
I agree.
4 out of 10.
6 out of 10.
6 out of 10. If you were to remove the music from this film, what do you think you would give it?
3.
Okay, cool.
It's that good. I can't lie. And, you know...
See, as someone who didn't particularly like the music, I think 4 is quite generous.
Yeah. I think the music makes the movie better. It's not just that the music is good.
Mm-hmm.
I think it complements the movie very, very well. So I like the movie more than what I remember.
Okay.
So I think that's mostly due to where movies right now. Which is a pretty terrible state.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a full movie from beginning to end. It's not like a piecemeal, how everyone tries to do a universe.
Okay, yeah.
And it's like, oh, come back for the next one. I was like, fuck you. There were subtle things in it. They're like, oh, maybe there's a sequel. But no, just give me a fucking full story. So in that way, it was very like, almost like a throwback. If you like electronic music, you should definitely check it out.
Just download the soundtrack. I say download the soundtrack. Just listen to the soundtrack.
No, visuals are worth it as well.
Yeah, visuals are good.
Put it on. You don't need to pay too much attention to it. You can be on your phone and look up sometimes and go like, oh, it's pretty.
Yeah.
And that's a perfect movie for that. While you do your dishes.
Cool.
I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm always like, sit down and watch the fucking movie and nothing else. What's next?
What's next? I have picked a film that I've seen once before and I remember being very impressed with it, and it's very highly rated and I can't remember anything else about it apart from the fact that it's a zombie film.
Oh.
It's called Train to Busan. Ever heard of Train to Busan?
Nope.
It's a 2016 film starring... Oh my God, I'm going to get in so much trouble. Yeah, I'm not even going to try that. It's a South Korean horror zombie film.
Okay.
Yeon Sang-ho.
Don't call me that.
He did. Yeah, I mean, I remember being very impressed with it. I don't usually like my horror films, as you know.
Mm.
Zombie horror films do seem to be a bit of a slight variation in the genre, where you don't particularly get a lot of jump scares. And they generally tend to be, you know, well-written if they're done well.
More about the human condition and society than the actual zombies.
Yeah. Anyway.
Trains to Burma.
Train to Busan.
Train to Busan. I'm looking forward to zombieing out.
Cool.
Again.
Has anyone seen my dentures? Dentures, 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 dentures.
That's going to be a clip.
Bye.
Bye.
Pudding. The nurse is still my pudding.
Has anyone seen my dentures?
The nurse is still my medication.
I'm waiting for a call from my grandson.